Episode 306 of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by you, the fine folks supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and Tops. Voyage across the Star Wars galaxy with Tops in an all-new trading card collection. It's the journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi. And don't forget the Star Wars Card Trader app. Collect and trade cards from 1977 to The Last Jedi. The entire Star Wars galaxy is in the palm of your hand. Download for free! That's right, free right now in the App Store and Google Play. Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, there's more of the Skywalker saga coming. Also, updates on Fox. Fox is being bought, and the Rancho Report. Let's do it right now. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. This is episode 306. Thank you for tuning in. We got a big old show lined up for you. Lots to talk about this week, as there always is. We're in that pitch, that last ditch, huge. It's like, well, pardon the Indiana Jones reference, but it's a brother franchise. It's a sister franchise. It's that season of a giant boulder of The Last Jedi rolling towards release. That's what I feel like it's happening. How about you, Bruce? Do you feel like that?
I feel like there's always a boulder rolling at me at all times.
He's like, that's called Wednesday, Riley. It's Bruce Gibson, producer of the podcast here. And you know what? Let's get him straight into the program here. He's the head honcho over at Jedi News. All around awesome fella. Glad to have you back on the Star Wars Report, sir. It's Mr. James Burns.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you are actually, for once, we're not like keeping you up. Whenever we have one of you British guys on, I always feel terrible because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. But now you're actually on the West Coast.
I am still on the West Coast, and I am sitting on the veranda or the porch at Rancho Obi-Wan right now.
What?
No way.
What he's doing at Rancho Obi-Wan. We're going to talk about it in the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Listen. I'm so excited about this. I think this is worthy of being considered in the news segment. James, I want to hear all about it. You're at Rancho Obi-Wan now, and there was the amazing shindig over the weekend, and I just wanted to get your report from the weekend and kind of touch base on all the awesomeness we missed out on.
Absolutely. Well, you were busy running around Disney.
I was. I was going to say, I wasn't suffering too much, I'll be honest.
You were having a wonderful time. Being surrounded by the wonderful delights that Disney has to offer.
Yes, although my feet were hurting a lot, I will be honest.
I'm not surprised. And meanwhile, over here, there were 210 people enjoying the wonderful delights of Rancho Obi-Wan.
And so what's the occasion?
So the occasion was, well, the Rancho Obi-Wan became established as a charity in 2011. And ever since, pretty much every year, with the exception of one, there's been an annual fundraiser. So this is the annual gala, and it normally happens on the first weekend of November. So true to form, it happened on Saturday. And it was a wonderful event. It was the fifth fundraising gala. There was also a grand reopening gala as well. And lots and lots of people came from all over the world, people from Brazil, from Europe, from all over the states. It was a truly amazing event with lots and lots of people and lots going on, and it was great fun. I've been to every one of the fundraising galas. I wasn't here for the grand reopening, but it was fantastic. And just being here and to be considered part of the Rancho Obi-Wan family is very, very special.
Well, and Rancho Obi-Wan has become such a cornerstone of the Star Wars community because of what, well, its founder, Steve Sansweet, has come to mean. I always hate to assume, but I'm sure there are folks who aren't entirely familiar with Steve and his work. We've had him on the show. It's been some time. But James, could you talk a little bit about your experience? Because I know we'll dig into some of the stuff that I'm sure you can actually see there and some of what actually happened. But what is your history with Steve and Rancho and how it all got started?
Well, Steve really has been synonymous with Star Wars since the beginning, he acquired his first piece for his Star Wars collection. He used to collect robots back in the day, and robots was his big thing. But in 1976, he heard about this phenomenon that was coming, which turned out to be Star Wars. And he actually dumpster dived to get his first piece of memorabilia in 76.
Oh, wow.
And ever since then, he's sort of been at the forefront of Star Wars collecting. And then in the early 90s, he was approached by Lucasfilm for a one-year contract to help promote the special editions. And he was there for almost 16 years as head of fan relations, director of fan relations, which was a role that we all got to know and appreciate him. But whilst he was there and before that, he'd obviously written From Screens to Collectibles, which is a very, very famous book and is responsible for a lot of us getting back on the collecting bandwagon in the 90s. And since then, he's written 16 different Star Wars books. And I would honestly credit a lot of the success of Star Wars in the late 90s to Steve, because without Steve being the ambassador that he was and working at Lucasfilm and doing all that he did in the way that he did it, being so amenable, so approachable, and such an amazing guy, I think Star Wars would be a very, very different landscape today.
I think, man, absolutely. I don't know. Bruce, I'd be interested to hear you jump in, because my exposure to Steve was first through the Celebration experience, and I didn't really know the kind of role he had played in the fan community all those years leading up to it. And I'll never forget when I first actually met him, and when we first talked to him was at a tiny little convention in Texas, Fan Days.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I think that may be where we first met.
Yeah, I think that was 2011.
Yeah, that was, and that, man, that's early. That was, let me think, that was like 2 or 3 months like after this show started. So that was early right. days for us. For people who are stalwarts of the community like you guys at Jedi News, that's I'm sure that seems like a pittance. But, man, it's a long time for me. And Steve was just super, super nice. He came on the podcast. You know, nobody knew who we were or anything, and he talked a little bit about collectibles and stuff. But then Rancho Obi-Wan just became this incredible, I guess Mecca is kind of what I would call it for Star Wars fans.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got a bucket list of Star Wars places that you want to go, you know, Lucasfilm is up there, Skywalker Ranch is up there, Rancho Obi-Wan is up there, and obviously some of the places where the films were created. But Rancho Obi-Wan is an amazing place where Star Wars is obviously its central theme, and it's steeped in so much history, where you've got collectibles going back to, well, the early 70s or when Star Wars was created, all the way up to Porgs and The Last Jedi and everything else. In fact, I've just been on a toy run with Steve where we've bought quite a lot of stuff for the museum. So. Oh,
wow. Hang on. So what is that experience like? Because I'm guessing it's not too different than it may have been in like 1998.
It's changed a bit because obviously there is so much stuff now.
Yeah.
And Steve used to be a completist. But yeah. Today it's impossible to be a completist. There is just so much stuff out there. Even for Steve Sansweet. And the other overriding factor in all of that is room.
Yeah.
It's all very well, you know, if you can afford it, but you need space to keep it all in. And that's very, very difficult, obviously, you know.
Yeah. No,
and
definitely.
Rancho's been expanded several times already. And whilst there is room to do it, it obviously costs a lot of money. And Rancho One is obviously a 501c charity.
Yeah, and that's an important point I wanted to make it too, is because Rancho Obi-Wan, it's not just a private collection or museum. It is that in some ways, but it's also a place where it's a sort of tribute to Star Wars history through the lens of collecting, which is basically a huge, huge part of it. And that's what one thing that's like. When you talk about bucket list, it's way up there on my bucket list too. This East Coaster is almost never on that side of the country, but. I will make it out someday for sure.
Yeah, it's tough for me because occasionally I'm in the Bay Area and I'm going to be there soon, but it's always like short notice, like when I'm going and you know, like the tours are on the weekends or you have to do it in advance because, you know, people go and it gets you know, booked out. So sometimes I don't make it. I am an annual member. So I get my patch in the mail and some other little trinkets and stuff every year from Rancho Obi-Wan automatically every year. So just going to RanchoObiWan.org. It's a great way to just support what they're doing. And then when you get a chance, if you're in the Bay Area, to go visit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I was going to say, for those people that know Steve or have heard of Steve, a great way to just give back a little bit is to become an annual member, and you get a whole bunch of swag for doing that. But that money goes to preserving the collection. And it's very, very important to stress this, because people don't realize this. None of the items that Steve buys comes out of that money. So yeah, everything that Steve buys comes out of his own pocket and out of the money that he earns himself. So none of the money that people give goes towards buying anything for the collection.
Yeah, no, that is an important point. And it is a great cause. And yeah, RanchoObiWan.org is where you can go and check that out. Let me ask you this before we move on from the subject. As far as the gal itself, any personal highlights? What's the kind of moment out of time experience that happens at the gala? Because I'm still not sure exactly what all goes on, so I'd be curious to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a brief rundown to, you know, the order of events, if you like, for Saturday gone. So people started arriving about 4 o'clock. There was hors d'oeuvres and drinks. So it's an over 21 event only. So it means that there's lots of alcohol flowing and people can have a beer. So that's nice. So the atmosphere is quite nice and relaxed. There's about 40 volunteers who've done this before that help look after all of the people and make sure that everyone's in the right places and not touching things. And the museum is open, so people can wander through the museum. And it's the only time of the year that the museum is like that, because when you come on a tour, you're following a tour guide around the museum. So this is the only time that you can literally walk around the museum at your own pace, if that's what you want to do. And then there's lots of things to do. So there is, outside the museum, they've been very, very busy this year. They've actually added or changed three major aspects of the museum. So for those that were at Celebration Anaheim a couple of years ago, there was a big sand crawler, or part of a sand crawler.
Uh-huh.
And that's now been placed outside the museum. And there were some droids outside there and some stormtroopers and things. So that looked really nice. 3PO and R2 were here as well.
Nice.
So that was a perfect picture opportunity for some. And then inside, you've got the library. And as you walk through the museum, you've got the BB-8 section, which people adore.
I did see some pictures of that. That was amazing.
Yeah. You've also got a recreation of a bedroom from the 70s and early 80s. So this is a bedroom that recreates, a boy's bedroom. Well, or a girl's. It's bunk beds, so it would be twins. I wonder why they chose twins.
And, did they have that in Orlando at Celebration?
Yes, they did. But what they've done now is that in Orlando, it was just focusing on A New Hope. But now it focuses on A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. So They've expanded that to include items spanning that whole 6 or 7 year period, which is really nice. So that's a new, brand new feature, which they've put into the museum. And then opposite that, there was a balloon pop. So you could pop a balloon or pull a balloon down. And the balloons varied in price from $5, $10, $20, and $40. And then depending on what balloon you picked, you got a prize that was at least equal to that value. So there were some really, really amazing things on offer. Then there was Steve has a little toy store within the museum where he sells a lot of his dupes. And all of that money goes back into Rancho as well. And then through there, you've got the museum, the big art gallery, and the treasure room, which has lots of very, very expensive and very, very special items that, you know, Steve's collected, including some of the blueprints to the Falcon and the original wireframe of the Falcon, and some Death Star pieces, original Death Star pieces. And lots and lots for people to see and do. At that time, there was Skywalker Vineyards were here. So there was a wine tasting going on. And then after that, there was lots of food, which was incredible. And that was all catered in-house, and that was done amazingly well. So a big, big shout out to Monty and the team for doing that. And then there was a big auction. So everybody came together for this amazing auction with some superb pieces from Hallmark and Funko, including lots of prototypes and things. That was really nice. And then there was a poker tournament later in the evening for those that wanted to partake in that. And whilst people were playing poker, DJ Elliot and Mark Daniels from Celebration were here. And they were getting the crowd going and a bit of a disco and having some fun. And that was really, really cool. So there was lots of entertainment, lots of things for people to do. There was a silent auction going on as well. And there were a few people from Lucasfilm here. So Matt Martin was around. Lots of really, it's just nice and relaxed. And it's just an amazing place to be, surrounded by all these like-minded people that want to give and want to have a nice time surrounded by Star Wars fans and friends.
You paint such an awesome picture of the community that's built around it, and that's one thing that I've come to love so much about, just even on the outside, seeing what Steve's built and the community that surrounded it. And to be honest, that was the whole thing in the news earlier this year of the theft.
Yes.
And how sad and tragic that was. Just hearing you tell the stories kind of warms my heart a little bit that community's still there, still vibrant, still strong, and the fundraising is there, and some of the charitable work the organization is doing is still going strong in that way. And I, that's one really good thing that I'm glad to hear was there.
What was the nicest thing about this year is that it was actually the biggest gala ever. So there was 210 people, which is the most we've ever had in the museum. So I think that speaks volumes. And some of the bids on the silent auction and the main auction were incredible. And people were going really digging deep and going above and beyond to ensure that the ranch can keep going. So that's very much so. And, you know, people believe in Steve and believe in what he does, and this place is so special and there isn't anything else like it on the planet. So yeah, go to RanchoObiWan.org and please just, you know, dig deep. And there's also some merch and other bits and pieces that you can buy to support. So at the moment, the Rebel Legion, the 501st, the R2 Builders and the Mandalorian Mercs have clubbed together, and they are doing a t-shirt with all proceeds going to Rancho Obi-Wan. So that's actually on the Rancho Obi-Wan page at the moment. And it's a really, really nice design featuring four classic Kenner-esque figures.
Nice.
And it's only $20, and you buy the t-shirt, and $10 of that goes directly to Rancho Obi-Wan.
That's so awesome. Yeah, absolutely. RanchoObiWan.org. Definitely check it out. James, thanks for giving us that firsthand look at it. And I'll tell you what, we got James is a busy man, and so we're not going to keep him too long, but there's one story that we all have to talk about. We'll get to it right after this.
This is Steve Sansweet. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Listen, I had to play.
Oh, wow, Steve just showed up.
if there's one time to bring that drop, I had to do it. No, okay, so.
Absolutely.
All right, there's one story this week that I really care about that I'm absolutely fascinated with.
The
all
Porks
right.
coming out in 16-inch scale?
Close. All right, it's up there, but a little higher. It's like, oh, they're making more Star Wars movies, said Kathleen Kennedy. Not exactly a big surprise. John Boyega. All right, let's get to the real story this week, and that is straight from Polygon. There's a pretty serious rumor circulating that Disney may buy, or certainly large portions of, Fox Studios. That's right. You know that Fox fanfare?
Become Disney's.
It could. They could own the Fox. The mouse could own the Fox. Your initial reaction, because there's some details we'll get into in a second, but I just remember just being, my mind is once again blown by the power of the mouse.
I think it's awesome news, and it's been, the talks, from what I've heard, have been going on for a while. I think it's come out this week, and I don't know which side leaked it, but obviously neither are confirming or denying. From what I understand, the talks have been going on for a little while. There's obviously a lot that Disney have to gain from acquiring Fox. And if you put Star Wars to one side for a second, you've got the X-Men.
Yep.
Which would fit very, very nicely into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that would work very well for them, along with a huge range of films, whether it be the Alien franchise or Die Hard. You know, I mean, there are so many films that, you know, Fox own. But then coming back to Star Wars, obviously there's two big things. I think all of us were slightly disappointed that we didn't have the Fox fanfare in front of The Force Awakens. And I think we all would have liked to see that. But I think even if Disney do go down that route, there's no guarantee that we'll get that. But the biggest thing that I think Disney wants is to own the complete rights to A New Hope, because they don't have that right now.
Specifically, and Bruce or James, correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I get a little confused on these things. As I understand it, Disney kind of own Lucasfilm, which owns Star Wars, but they don't own the distribution rights to the first film. Is that correct?
That is correct. So that's owned in and I can never get this word out, in perpetuity. Oh, I did it first time.
Nice.
By Fox. So if this acquisition goes ahead, it means that they can decide when they want to put A New Hope out. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit disappointed that here we are in the 40th anniversary of Star Wars and the film's not in the cinema. I mean, what better way to have celebrated the 40th anniversary than having that on the big screen? Personally, I think that would have been the right way to celebrate
it. I can speak to that very very personally, because for me as a huge Star Wars fan, my fandom developed as a thing that friends, we would reenact scenes from the movies that we had seen on VHS and then DVD, because that's how I grew up watching the Star Wars films for the first time. And so I'll never forget the first time I saw Star Wars on the big screen at Celebration 5, my first Celebration.
Wow.
And that was a special moment.
Absolutely. But if you think about how Rogue One ended, what better way to have celebrated the anniversary than in May for that film to have been shown on all the cinemas? I mean, that would have just been perfect. They could have done a double header with Rogue One and A New Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a great idea. Oh, I would have loved that.
Well, and Bruce,
now I'm feeling bad.
Well, it's funny, Bruce.
I should go into marketing.
Exactly. I mean, listen, absolutely. Although, Bruce, it's funny, that relates to a picture I had to post on my Instagram earlier today, which was a throwback to long before you were part of the Star Wars Report on the production side of things, but we just knew you as an Atlanta Star Wars fan locally, and they had one of the local theaters secured the rights and just did a one-time throwback screening for A New Hope. I'm trying to remember, what was the name of the theater? It was one of the first times we got to hang out.
Plaza?
Plaza. Yeah. No, yeah. It's the Plaza Theater, which is a vintage theater in Atlanta that shows pretty much exclusively old films from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and some 70s. And they'll do these special screenings, and they got the rights to Star Wars. And James, I'll tell you this, there's this huge hullabaloo when somebody on the social media side for the Plaza Theater posted that they would be screening the original theatrical version.
Yes, I think I remember that.
I think that made some national news as well.
It did.
And everyone's like, what? Where did they get it? How did this happen? What is it? And of course, we got there, and most people were there just to see it, but there were a few of us, like super hardcore nerds, that were waiting to see whether or not that dewback would be CGI. So,
Because it was a recent Blu-ray edition.
Yeah, they screened the Blu-ray edition of all things. I'm sure
that's the only edition that cinemas are currently allowed to show. So,
And I'm sure there were a handful of emails that went back and forth on that subject. But yeah, I think it's a big deal, not just because the fanfare is kind of the go-to thing, but I think the potential of the legacy of Star Wars being under one studio in terms of distribution is important. Because just in terms of like film preservation, sort of for the same reason, I think it's important to have a preserved version of the theatrical version for history's sake of A New Hope. I think it's also important to keep the films together. So, Bob Iger, at some point he's just gonna forget U.S. politics. Disney is just gonna set up their own rogue state amongst.
Well, it's more than that as well, because obviously we're reading these reports, and Fox will keep the news station and they'll keep their sports, but everything else Disney will probably acquire. And for Europeans, that means, so for us in the UK, Fox currently owns 39% of Sky. So it means that Disney would actually acquire 39% of Sky, which would be great news for the likes of getting Star Wars, Marvel, Disney Entertainment on Sky network.
That's a good perspective.
So, and Fox, I think, is trying to acquire even more of Sky now.
Yeah, exactly. So if that were to happen, it puts Disney very much in a great steering seat to enable the UK and other European markets, especially, to get Disney content all the time, which for me would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And for many Europeans, you know, I think they would agree that's a great way to go, because they don't have that foothold. So whereas you get to watch Rebels on the Disney app pretty much straight away after each episode is aired, we don't get that in Europe at all.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, I see a huge advantage to that for us, because I'm envisaging that would be available to us at that point. So there's lots and lots of positives. The negatives that people have talked about, obviously, is consolidation and the world's getting smaller and companies buying companies. But I think, you know, Fox haven't had a particularly great time of it over recent years, especially with their theatrical releases. And they want to concentrate more on news and sport, which isn't such a bad thing. And I think it could work out really, really well for everyone.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and I think it will, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Well, I'll tell you what, we got some more news and stuff to talk about, but James, I know we've kept you long enough. Seriously, thanks for coming on, man, and tell everybody where they can find you, Jedi News, podcasts, blogs, all kinds of stuff you're up to.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us at JediNews.com or JediNews.co.uk, whatever you fancy. On social media, we're either Jedi News or Jedi News UK. You can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Planet Burns. It's been a bit of a weird few weeks, which I know people are aware of. The podcast will be coming back in the next week or so.
Sweet.
And we're just finding our feet again as we're sort of regrouping and moving forward. But there's some big things to come. And lots going on, as always.
As always, like, yeah, this is our time, man. And I have so much respect for what you guys do at Jedi News. So seriously, we'll have the links to everything James just mentioned in the show notes for this episode 206. So you can check it out at the blog. All the links will be right there. And seriously, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. And anything we can do to help you guys out, as always, let us know.
I appreciate it. And thank you. Thank you for having me on. And look forward to talking and catching up with you very, very soon.
Will do. All right. Have a safe
straight time. After the film. How about that? Let's get together.
Let's
after
do
the
it.
Film
and- I'm in. I'm in. All right. We'll talk soon, man.
Awesome.
Thanks, okay, James. Bye.
All right.
Thank you.
The one and only James Burns. Thanks, man. I'll tell you what, Bruce. It's a good time. Solid. A top bloke. Am I allowed to say that? I think I'm gonna steal the British vernacular. Top bloke. I think I'm doing that right.
Yes, you can say
I'm digging a hole here. All right. Let me get out of here.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Apology accepted, Captain Nita.
Hey, everybody. The Star Wars Report Podcast is brought to you by... Look at the tension's building. Tops! How was that? Do you like that? I kind of like that.
That was just Tops.
That's my favorite intro to an ad ever. I'm not going to lie. Hey, Tops is supporting the Star Wars Report podcast, and we love them for doing it. Listen, here's what Tops is letting you do. Let's talk about it, Bruce. You can voyage across the Star Wars galaxy. The whole galaxy is in your hands with this amazing new trading card collection they have. It's the Journey to the Last Jedi. The physical group, it's twofold. You got the physical and you got the digital. On the physical side, you can get the single card packs or the hobby boxes. They have an amazing array, 110 base storyline cards that take you on a journey across the Star Wars saga. But here's the deal, Bruce. They're also giving you a little sneak peek at The Last Jedi. So you can get some of those early cards, some of those early looks at some of the characters and situations from The Last Jedi. And, of course, they have stickers, character cards, illustrated cards, autograph cards, more than 30 actors and characters available in the autograph section. So you can pick up your trading cards. Any hobby shop that carries trading cards, it's Tops. You know Tops. And we love Tops as well. Go to Tops.com today and check them out. And also, hey, we mentioned the physical. Let's talk about the digital. Don't forget the Star Wars Card Trader app. You can get your very own piece of the Star Wars galaxy and collect and trade officially licensed digital trading cards. You can amass this huge collection that basically spans from the old vintage cards from 1977 all the way to now with the amazing Last Jedi stuff. I was literally hanging out with Aaron while we were down at Disney for the half marathon, and yeah. We both fired up the Topps app, and and listen, if people know Aaron, he's not the biggest fan of Porgs. So when he pulled, he got one of the free, you get some amazing bonus points every time you log in the app. So he used the points, opened a couple packs of cards, pulled a Porg out. And I was so happy about this. But the digital side has these really cool relic cards that you and chase cards you can go after, signature cards, and here's the cool thing, you can interact with fans all across the world, including me. My username's just The Riley Guy. Check it out. You can find me on there. And then, like I said, you can open free packs every day and get those kinds of coins, awards, just for signing in and access their daily card releases. Listen, Bruce, it's the app every Star Wars collector should have.
And it is. You. I've used it too, and I don't remember what my... I think I am as Admiral Rex in there.
Yes, Admiral Rex. I know, because I sent you a friend request, and I don't think you've answered, sir. I'm a little offended. I'm not going to
lie. Right. I'm considering it. Let's just say that.
He's like, I'm not sure where our relationship's at that point, Riley. All right, so go right now. Download the Star Wars Card Trader app. You know what the price is, Bruce? It's free.
It's free.
It's free. Yeah. Right now in the App Store and Google Play. All right, man. And seriously, thanks, Topps, for supporting the Star Wars Report podcast. We do appreciate their amazing support. I just sent in the 1 month review of all the listen, not just us, like the Star Wars Bookworms and the Wampa's Lair and Beyond the Films, just on our network and supporting Steve over at Geek Out Loud, and they've really, really, they're giving back to the Star Wars fan community, specifically the fan creator community, and I'm really glad to have them supporting all of us. So go support them, check them out, and shoot them a tweet, let them know that you love the fact that they're supporting all of these awesome Star Wars podcasts. All right, let's talk about Bruce. We've got this more future Star Wars films. What's going on here?
So Kathleen Kennedy was on the Star Wars show
this week. All right, I'll stop.
And so there was an interview with her with Andy, and I even saw they did an extended version of the interview, which I haven't watched yet.
But I did, my friend.
You did. So did you catch that she's saying that there's more to the Skywalker saga in the films?
I didn't, because I was too distracted at listening to them talking about the baby Porg scene, which made more play.
No. She did talk about there's going to be a
baby Porg. And that made more play in social media than the announcing that there were
I don't know why, but that stood out to me too. But she said, okay, I'm reading this from Slash Film, the article that they released. They're saying we're a little over a month away from Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Episode 8, in the ever-expanding Star Wars saga. There's another core Skywalker saga film planned after that, which is, of course, Episode 9. But if you thought that would be the end of the main Star Wars franchise, you're mistaken. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy recently revealed that the Star Wars franchise will continue on past Episode 9 and keep the adventures of the new characters going. There will be future Star Wars films for quite some time. In fact, Kennedy says they're, quote, looking at the next 10 years.
I'm shocked, I tell you. Shocked.
Shocked. My thing I like about this is keep the adventures of the new characters going. So does that mean we're going to get more Rey and Finn?
Luke Skywalker dies. Luke Skywalker. All right.
Luke Skywalker at 80 some years old. Maybe.
No. That matches closely what some of the interviews coming out from her and the production team and Rian Johnson about how Episode 8 really does turn to focus to the development of the new characters and some of those like surprises, and it's different and it's unexpected. That stuff I think is mostly centered around the new characters. I mean, I may be totally wrong, but that's kind of the vibe I get.
Yes, it could very well be. The good news is that we know that they're not just going to stop after Episode 9 and take a break for a while. It sounds like they're going to just continue to do more Star Wars movies right after that.
But seriously, what about the baby Porg scene? Where do you land on the baby Porg debate?
There's a debate. What's the debate?
We're making
going to be a baby Porg in the movie.
I mean, I'm making a debate right now. What is your opinion? Something, a controversial hot take from Bruce Gibson.
I think it's wonderful that babies are represented in Star Wars. We haven't had enough babies.
Stop it. Bruce, you're terrible.
Think about it. We did have babies at the end of episode 3, Luke and Leia babies. We had a baby Ewok.
Yeah. Don't mind
Return
that.
Return of the Jedi. I think that's it.
That's true. That's like the only one we've had.
Hello.
Hey, Aaron, it's what do you think of the baby Porgs? You're on the air, by the way. I'm just serious, like, you have a very important update. And listen, Kathleen Kennedy, which is on the Star Wars show, was talking all about the future of the films and stuff, but we don't care anything about that. She revealed that there's going to be a baby Porg in Star Wars. Your thoughts?
I'm guessing that the baby Porg will be cuter than regular Porgs.
The inimitable insight of Aaron Goins. Go check out Star Wars Bookworms. It's available right now on the iTunes store. All right, Aaron, I'll stop harassing you. Thanks. Hey, by the way, congrats on the Disney run. It was amazing. Well done. All right,
man, you too.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
I like that we have a field reporter out there about Porgs now.
Listen, Aaron Goins is our official Porg correspondent. Wait, Cora Porgespondent? This is hard.
I'm going to say this right now. I think for the next, until the movie comes out, every week we need to call Aaron for a Porg update.
Porg
just
date?
Just like you just did.
No, that's weird. Porg dates are what? No. Hey, all right.
Worth a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right. It's time for Boba's Bounty, that part of the week where we talk about something we did, experienced, or talked about, thought about, were exposed to, listened to, watched in the world of Star Wars. It's just our time to kind of highlight something we're interested in as fans. It's our quirky little segment at the end of the show where we just take a moment to talk about something perfectly mundane and hope it's interesting. I'll start us off. So I was at Hollywood Studios Saturday before the race. Aaron and I were hanging out that day. And a couple interesting things happened. We saw Kylo Ren. That was cool. But we also, they have this really cool First Order parade that happens periodically. I say parade. Marching, you know, unit marches through. And so Captain Phasma marches from the front of the park all the way to the Star Wars launch bay. And they have a full formation of like 30 First Order troopers. So we were walking by and I was like, oh, this will be great little footage for the vlog. By the way, plug, Riley will be editing together a little video blog of the trip and posting it on our various social medias.
Ooh, oh boy.
That'll be coming up late this week or early next week. But that's not the story. I was like, I'll get this little clip. So I squatted down so that I wouldn't, you know, be that doofus, you know, big hulking unattractive dude just plotting my big old butt right in the front of the parade and blocking a bunch of kids from being able to see the troopers. So I got way down, squatted down so that I could get a nice shot of the parade as they walk by. But then Captain Phasma's hand, with, okay, it's for full Gwendolyn Christie voiceover, by the way, recorded for all of this. Hold your hand up. Everyone stops in formation at the perfect time, right where we are. At which point, then she orders the troopers to disperse and scan the crowds for traitors. And so everyone's super scared as all the First Order troopers split from their two rows, and one goes to one side of the street, one goes to the other side of the street, and about 4 or 5 First Order troopers approach and literally get about 12 inches from my face. I have never had my face that close to unmentionable parts of stormtrooper armor in my life. and to be fair, I got some great close-up now it's getting weird. I got some great shots of the helmet. Some great shots of the First Order trooper helmet. What is happening to my show? I apologize, everybody. Sorry.
but this sounds like Riley's Bounty for sure.
yeah, exactly. But I definitely got some great shots that'll all be in the vlog. Check out the vlog. And that was quite a cool little moment for us as we were trundling through Hollywood Studios. Bruce, how about you?
Okay, so, you know, this has come up several times now about Barnes & Noble and them having this separate Star Wars section.
You are obsessed with this.
I am obsessed with this. So if no one knows, we've talked about this before. In Dunwoody, Georgia, there's a Barnes & Noble I went into. I went to the sci-fi fantasy area. Couldn't find any Star Wars books. None. Zero. Riley informs me that in the far back of the store is a Star Wars section, totally separate from the sci-fi and fantasy, which is in the front of the store. So the two aren't even close to each other. So I can't find Star Wars if you're going to put it somewhere totally obscure in the store. So right now, as we're talking, I'm in New York. I'm in Midtown. And I went to the Barnes & Noble. And sure enough, in the sci-fi fantasy section are all the Star Wars books. That Barnes & Noble had it in the right place. And the other day, I was in Cumming, Georgia, near my house. And they did have that separate Star Wars section, but it was near the sci-fi fantasy area.
So Dunwoody,
the Dunwoody
Barnes
store
Noble
has it all wrong.
Listen up. Listen. You've been called out here on the Star Wars Report podcast. I've been in that. And that's funny because I just happened to go to that same Barnes & Noble. And that's totally true. They definitely hid the Star Wars stuff behind the Harry Potter section. That's the ultimate sin, right? That's
well, and the Cumming store, it's behind the Harry Potter section. So when you're in sci-fi fantasy, you look over and you see Harry Potter. You can't see Star Wars, but at the far end, there's a little display that maybe if then you walk to that, you'll look around and say, oh, here's all the Star Wars stuff, though. Yeah. And so, but the one here, I was in New York, it's at 46 and 5th. That Barnes & Noble there, they had like a little Star Wars section as you walked in the store, but all the books and everything were with the sci-fi fantasy stuff.
Dude, get it right, Barnes & Noble. Put Star Wars right in the front. Forget that like new and noteworthy or current bestseller set. Just put all Star Wars. Listen, physical bookstores are having a hard time, and I'm telling you, Star Wars can save you. Listen to the wise Bruce.
Make it logical.
Make it good. All right, I want to take a brief. We're getting towards the end of the show, but hey, let's do a shout out. This week's featured patron supporter just jumped on board. Kurt, welcome to the team. Welcome to the family. Hey, Patreon's kind of a fun time. It's a way to support the show directly, and it's a way that we deliver some cool, sweet bonus content. And I never do this, Bruce, but I always we have so much fun recording these little 10-minute, 15-minute, sometimes 20 or 30 bonus segments that are called Rogue Transmissions. That's what we do at the $5 level. So if you want to pitch in a few shekels, a few Republic credits, and help out the show directly, this is how you do it. But I do a terrible job of like actually selling it, of like telling people what is there, what is Patreon, and how to do it. Patreon's a way that you just punch in a monthly pledge, and we offer some really cool bonuses, like joining in the Patreon Facebook chat group, which is a ton of fun. We're always talking about stuff throughout the week there, and some really, really cool, nice folks. Some of the most fun Star Wars conversation I have is with our Patreon chat, and that's what I absolutely love it. But things like that, and then of course exclusive access to our weekly Rogue Transmission. You mentioned the Dunwoody Tavern. Dunwoody's coming up a lot in today's episode. The Dunwoody Tavern. This is the kind of craziness. I just whipped out Bruce's recorder and just fired it up while we were setting up and having dinner. And so it's just like some fun conversation that's not necessarily as structured as the main show, but typically some of the same shenanigans. Here's a little excerpt.
No, it's funny because like we're in that we're in that stage now of planning, because The Last Jedi will be coming out and we have the tickets booked. Beth and I are seeing it in Austin, and our tickets are for Friday. Hoping, and we don't know, we did it for Rogue One, so hopefully it'll happen again, but I'm hoping you and I, Bruce, will see it at one of the early press screenings, if they do it again here in
and
Atlanta.
I have my ticket already for the 14th, the night before.
Okay.
So am I going to see that with Michael right. Morris?
With your plates?
We yes. are. Yeah, thank you so everything? Much.
That's definitely the waitress while we're recording.
We are. Oh, the lights are coming down now.
Hey, you know what? It was funny because after we stopped the recording, she's an actress, and she was asking me afterwards. She's like, "What are you guys doing? Like a podcast?" I said, "Yeah, Star Wars." And she said, "Oh yeah, I just saw online that there's some parts available in England. They're doing a TV show," is what she said.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Listen, intelligence from the front. No, so like it's always like in this week's show. I literally, so for this week's Rogue Transmissions, Bruce and I just recorded a quick Bruce and I just recorded a quick, and by Bruce, I mean Riley just yelled at Bruce a lot about how awesome Run Disney is and how the weekend half marathon went down at the Wine and Dine.
And Bruce is a wimp. He doesn't run.
And well, no, but not for long, because there's the Star Wars half marathon.
Yes, and you want to know my opinion?
Uh-huh.
My opinion is, if you want to know my opinion, uh-huh, listen to Rogue Transmissions.
Well played, sir. Well played, sir. All right, we've officially come to that time. It is the end of the show. Episode 206 is in the can. Dude, what a great episode. Had a great time today.
It was great. It's fun.
It's one of those rare times where all the technical stuff ran smoothly. All the James is great. Hearing all about the sweet goings-on at Rancho Obi-Wan. Again, check out
and
Rancho
Obi-Wan.
And
he was there when he's talking to us.
Yeah. Let's listen. I didn't even think about that. I should have played that up more. Live from Rancho Obi-Wan. The correspondent right there. Seriously, thanks, Kurt, and all of the fine folks supporting us on Patreon. Really do appreciate your support. It makes a huge difference for the show and what we're able to do. And then, of course, here's how you stay in touch with us. A couple notes right up the top. I have like 5 to 10 emails that have been sitting in for the last like 2 weeks in the Star Wars Report inbox from some of you guys who are longtime supporters and listeners to the show. I've gotten the emails, but we ran out of swag. We literally did some Twitter and iTunes giveaways. And did so many. I gave away literally like 2 dozen packs of Topps cards, because Topps is awesome. And we ran out. And so I contacted them, and the Mark over at Topps, Mark Von Olin, was nice enough. We got a whole nother box of awesome swag from Topps. So I'm going to be resuming that. I'm not announcing any new giveaways. So stop emailing, stop doing iTunes reviews. Actually, no, please do reviews on iTunes. But we're going to be doing more of that in the very near future. And if you've emailed me, I'll be getting back to you very soon to get you in on the sweet swag bonus stuff. Especially as we get towards, Star Wars tonight, it's like a week out from launching. I'm not ready
at
all.
Oh my gosh. That means we're only then a month and a week away from The Last Jedi.
Gosh, what has happened? How is this... I just got chills when you said that out loud. I'm not going to lie. Just a little bit.
I'm so excited.
Stay in touch with the show. Keep in touch with us. We're all across social media. It's at Star Wars Report on Twitter and just facebook.com/Star Wars Report. That Facebook page is where we'll be linking to the video blog from the Run Disney event and some other cool stuff in the near future. So make sure you go like us on Facebook. We're also on YouTube. Search for the Star Wars Report. Go ahead and subscribe. We'll be uploading there as well in the very near future. Shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. And, of course, go follow James Burns at Planet Burns and, of course, at Jedi News UK. Follow Mr. Bruce Gibson at Admiral_Rex on the Twitter and just at Admiral Rex without the underscore on Instagram. And, of course, if you have to, go check out whatever the Trek crap you do. I'm at the Riley guy.
Whatever. Trek FM.
Trek FM. What's the name of the
show? I do a live show about Discovery Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6%,
yeah, whatever.
6 p.m.
Yeah,
Pacific.
Whatever it is, it's Star Trek. Anyway, so I'm Steve Glosson would be proud of me right now. then also, me. Go follow me. Let me be selfish. Go follow my Instagram. If you want to go see all the awesome pictures of the Run Disney trip and some other cool stuff, I'm on Instagram at TheRileyGuy. It's my current favorite social media platform. I've really come to fall in love with Instagram, so follow me at TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y. Same thing for Twitter, and all those good times to be had. I guess that's about it, Bruce. Anything I'm forgetting? Anything we need to part ways with before we wrap it up?
No, except tune in next week.
Tune in next week, episode 307, when we will eat a porg live on air. No, I'm not. Aaron Goins is going to eat a pork live on air. Hey, thank you. remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. And also, thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye. Dude, Bruce, I got to say, having all the audio drops where they should be, this was a near perfect live to hard drive. I'm so proud of the show. This episode,
that's so
dude.
Great. Oh. And I was worried too, because when I travel and I'm doing from like hotel Wi-Fi, I don't know how well it's going to work.
Sounds great, man. Sounds great the whole time. Also, I love this jam. Wait for it. And the drop is right. All right. I just like that. I just had to incorporate in the show just because. Sometimes you just do it just because. All right, because dude. Let me stop the recorder here. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I don't know. I couldn't announce it because I couldn't get it together in time. I will get the Porg t-shirt. We're going to do a second round. I just don't know. I hopefully this week. I don't know. Hopefully. Ooh. We'll see. All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.